Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this 23rd Sunday after Pentecost is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 21st chapter. We will read the first 9 verses of that chapter. That's Luke 21, verses 1 through 9, where we read in the name of our Lord. He looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast into unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, as for these things which ye behold, the days will come, in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when we and ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, how good you truly are. And Father, we need by your Spirit to understand your goodness. Quicken that into our hearts this day. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. It's always fascinating to read this chapter in Luke. You understand very clearly, and I've mentioned this before, there are no chapters and verses in the scripture. We invented those. You know, they weren't added until much, much later. The books of the scripture were written as entirely continuous writings. They were not broken up at all. And lots of times what happens with this text is that these two things get divided out, and they shouldn't be. In the other gospels, they're marked out. It kind of stops with the woman putting her gifts in the treasury, and then we pick up the great eschatological discourse. And this is not really how this happened. You can see very clearly in Luke that he brings this out, and he says that these two things are related to one another very closely, so that we would have this understanding and recognize what God really sees, what's really important to God. And you see, and you understand the juxtaposition of these two texts, because it's here that we really come to this point, as we do too. It's very easy to get caught up in this point of looking at stuff, of looking at religious stuff, and thinking about religious stuff, and thinking about how important all of that religious stuff is. And when our mind is focused on that, it brings us to this point of really thinking that we need to be invested in the stuff. And there's nothing wrong with the stuff. It's just that that's not really the stuff. And this was the point that Jesus was really trying to emphasize. You see, it was when he looked up, and I love this. I love this passage, you know, in Greek. It basically is a participial phrase. He says, when he looked up, at the same time that he looked up, he saw all these very wealthy people, and they were putting their gifts into the collection box, because that's the way that they did it back in the day. It says, so they were doing this. But he did something that no one else would really do. He saw this woman. And you see, that's really the key. He saw her. He saw her. Now, you understand what I'm saying? He saw her. Because lots of times in life, what we look at is like the big stuff of the rich people, and, you know, and the church today has become kind of a celebrity sort of environment. You know, we want to have basketball players, and we want to have football players, and we want to have people that have big name notoriety in the church and things like that. This woman in the society was really nobody that would stand out at all. And it's hard to even know that the people that were there would even really recognize her plight or know her difficulty. But God did. And the incarnate God saw her. He saw her. And he knew her situation. He knew what her situation was. And it's explained very clearly that he realized that she was destitute. This was a poverty-stricken person. And he says that, you know, it brings out very clearly that, and how would you know this? You know, nobody would know this. You wouldn't know this unless you're God. You know, he knew exactly what she put into the treasury. And it was 2 leptons. And that's kind of meaningless to us. They're kind of meaningless. They're kind of like 2 almost totally worthless coins. They have almost no value whatsoever. They're almost insignificant coins. And she had 2 of them. And she put them in the treasury. She put them in the collection box. And Jesus saw it. Jesus saw her. And he had seen all of these very wealthy people make their very, very large gifts. And it indicates otherwise that they're kind of doing it, you know, with a showy type of format of understanding this. But he saw this widow, this poor one. And he said, in reality, I'm saying to you, the widow, this poor one, more than all threw in. For all these, out of their abundance, threw into the gifts of God. Now this woman, out of her lack, all the livelihood that she has, threw in. Jesus saw her. He saw her. You understand what I'm saying? He saw her. She was real to him. And when he saw her, you got to understand that this probably brought a big smile to his face. Because he knew her heart. And he knew that she knew that her God was good. In spite of her poverty, in spite of her losing her husband because she's a widow, in spite of all of those things that were against her, she understood that her God was good. He was good. That he could be trusted. He could be trusted with her life. And then it says very clearly, the people weren't paying any attention to her. They're not paying any attention to any of this stuff. You had a big building out there. Big building. You know, it's really quite a magnificent structure. It says, you know, you got a big building, and it says very clearly that it has all sorts of very, very large stones built into it. So it was difficult work. It was difficult to do. And that meant that it took a lot of money to build this building. And it says that the stones were beautiful. You know, they had been decorated, and you still see this when people come to, like, the Wailing Wall and things like that. They brought prayers and things like that, and that's what this is really talking about. They would bring offerings of devotion, and they would place them into the nooks and crannies of the stones, you know. And it says, and these stones are decorated with these beautiful offerings and all these sort of things like that. And the people are mystified by it. You know, that's really the big thing, you know. That's really like the great deal, you know. You got this place that you can come, this marvelous edifice, and you got all these sorts of things like this. And Jesus says one thing. He says, the stuff you're looking at, he says, there'll come a day when there won't be a stone left upon a stone here that won't be torn down. And that's the juxtaposition between these two things. That woman, the poor woman, she lives forever. She could trust God with her livelihood. She lives forever. She lives forever in our memory. We read her story all the time. We understand very clearly, and we talk about her. The temple, long gone. Long gone. What are the people concerned about? The temple. It's the temple. And immediately they respond to him. He said this terrible thing. And they understand right away, because that's what happened to them when they were carried off into exile. The temple was destroyed. The first temple was destroyed. So they are very concerned about this. And they start to say to him, well, when's that going to happen? You know, because that means really that God's presence is withdrawing from us. That's what they understood. They said, so now when's that going to happen? And Jesus says these wonderful words, see that you're not led to wander off course. You need to see that woman. The temple isn't important. The temple's just a building. It's that woman where God is. That's where God is. God's with that woman. You need to understand. Your faith isn't built on a building. It's not built on a religious enterprise. It's not built on any of these things. It's built on people like this woman. It's understanding very clearly that this is what your God sees. He says, don't wander off course. Don't get caught up in all of these other things. And he says, there's many that are going to come in my name. They're going to say, I'm he. I'm the Messiah, basically is what he's saying. They're going to show up and say, I'm the Messiah. And some are going to say, and the time is near. The time's near. This is it. You know, you used to see the old guys with the sandwich boards, you know, walking around in New York City. The end is near. Repent, the end is near. You know, that was the 60s. He says, the season isn't near. He says, don't you follow them. He says, don't you follow them. He says, and whenever you hear of all of these tumults, of all of these wars, of all of these difficulties, he says, don't be terrified. He says, because this is the course of human events. He says, this is the way that it's going to be. But he says, but the completion of them is not immediate. He says it's not straight off, literally, it says in Greek. See, we spend a lot of time worrying about that stuff. We think about that kind of stuff, and people tell us all the time, well, that's the end of the world. You know, it's going to be the end of the world. And I hate to tell you, if you go back and you start reading all the way back in the early centuries, immediately after Jesus, they were all convinced it was the end of the world. You don't even know who those people are, because they've been so long gone, dead, and forgotten. Where Jesus says, you got to see that woman. You got to see that woman. You got to understand buildings are going to come and go. You got to understand the tumults of life, they're going to come and go. There's going to be all sorts of different things that happen, even within your own lifetime. They're going to come and go. But what we need to see is that woman. We need to understand that woman. We need to realize and recognize the goodness of God. Because even in the midst of her poverty, God loves that woman. He loves that woman. And it's that woman that really stands out in relationship to this. Not the temple. Not the temple. It's not the stones of the temple. It's not the decoration of the temple. It's not that it was such a great place or that it took all this effort to build or how valuable it was. Because the value is not in the gift. The value is not in the building. Value is in that woman. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for that woman. And he would see her, and he would know her, and he would save her because he loved her. Because he loved her. And what we need to understand is that's how God loves us. That things are going to come and go. And times are going to change. And they're going to come and go. And in the ebb and flow of time, we're going to see many, many different things take place. And we're going to think that certain things are on the horizon. You know, that we are convinced that this is the way that this is going to go, only to find out that we might be wrong. But the one thing that will not change is the depth of God's love for us. Because he's so good. That God can look through all of our nonsense. God can look through all of our misunderstanding. And really, what is a true poverty? Because honestly, we don't know what we're doing. And love us still. Love us still. See, there was one of those old songs from the 60s. What the world needs now is love. Sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. Amen. We need to see the widow. And we need to love her. We need to love her. But we need to see ourselves too. And we need to know how much we are loved. How greatly God loves us. How the blood of Jesus Christ takes away our sin and saves us, delivers us from all iniquity. We need to see and we need to know. And I always bring this up because I know how much you love those young people reading, and I do too. I love that. I love that in the church. You know, that just makes me really happy. I like that. You know, and I know that you do too. But you need to understand But that's the same way God sees every one of us. Sees every one of us in exactly the same way. And out of his great love for us, he redeems us. Out of his great love for us, he shows us his goodness. He shows us his grace. You know what? We're going to survive this last election.
But the news said I wouldn't.
And that's what we need to understand. The world is going to continue. And what we need to see is the widow. We need to touch God's world. We need to touch his people with his abundant love. We need to minister that love to one another. And by so doing, we will show the world who we are, that we're followers of Jesus Christ. That buildings may come, buildings may go. Different sort of religious things and ideals may become very cherished and fall away. But the love of God will never change. And his grace and his mercy will continue forever. Every day of our life, which happens to be eternal. God grant us the grace to see what he sees and to love what he loves and to live the life he has given us in his mercy and his grace and his peace. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, truly that is who you are. And your mercy endures forever. And we pray, Father, even this day, that as you have made us partakers of so great a mercy through the finished work of your Son, Jesus the Christ, that, Father, we would have eyes to see and a heart that's molded in the image of your Son. That by your Holy Spirit, living and walking, redeemed, that, Father, we would see as you see, in love, even as you love. That in all things, Father, your name would be hallowed and glorified for Jesus' name's sake. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion and fellowship of this Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forever. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.